Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
I am Dean.
I, surprisingly enough, am Paul.
And
what?
I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, we're doing minisodes, and we're up to episode 7 of season 3 of Stranger Things. Yes, and this is chapter 7, The Bite. That's the title of this one.
And Jason, it's Latin. It's pronounced the bite.
The bite? Yeah.
And that means to puncture skin with teeth.
Yeah.
And look.
To puncture.
I don't want to say I'm over this gimmick.
Yep.
But okay.
Latin.
I think
for every title. Weird.
If we smash through. the binge watching, the binge recording the episodes.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll do this again, won't we?
No, I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
How you guys feeling this is going?
No.
I don't know. I won't know until people listen to it.
That's right.
My opinion on this completely depends on the fan base.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's not really valid until people like tell me, oh, that sucked or it didn't. Like we said in the very first episode.
Remember the time you did 8 minisodes? Didn't like that.
No.
Yeah. Worst episodes ever. That's probably the feedback we'll get. Yeah.
Great.
My least favorite 8 episodes are 7 episodes of the Stranger Things 1 and Solo. Yeah.
Solo sucks. But just saying. That was our first episode, so yeah. We had to start from
somewhere. We've grown a lot.
A little bit.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're up to chapter 7 of Stranger Things season 3. The Bite, as we've already said.
Whoa, that's right.
And I was like, I wonder what will happen in this episode with a title like The Bite. Let's find out.
Are you actually asking? Oh, sorry. Okay. Well,
I have some theories.
We open on the 4th of July celebration. The mayor is given a big old speech because all the voters care about is a big old party. And that's what he's given him. And it's great. And there's fireworks. And then we cut to the most rock solid couple in the entire Stranger Things universe. We cut to the Wheelers.
The Wheelers, I almost said the Driscolls, but then I realized Mrs. Driscoll died in the last episode, and also she's been a widow for quite some time, so not the most rock-solid couple.
Oh, jeez. Well, no, because, Jace, they never talk to each other.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
When they introduced Mrs. Driscoll, could you, like, not stop thinking of the O'Driscolls from Red Dead Redemption?
No, I didn't actually think of that. It's really weird, but, because I thought of my nan, to be honest.
Well, that's nice.
Cause my nan was like such a shorter lady and, just a really nice, like lady, like really pleasant and, just the mannerisms and things of that
Nana Driscoll
Mrs.
Fitler.
Driscoll reminded me of my nan. So when she became like the sludge in the whatever episode, I was like, man, that's messed up. Like that was just like really messed up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was like, no. But yeah, that even affected me way more than I thought it would. But that was what I thought of. I didn't even think of a Driscoll's from Red Dead Redemption.
Every single time she was on screen, I was like, O'Driscoll's.
O'Driscoll's. Yeah. And you start like just shooting basically just whenever you come across them in the game.
Exactly.
For the first ages in playing that game, I'd come across the O'Driscoll's and I'd be like, oh, look at these guys. And I just think it's just a normal person that you're going to like either rob or just bump into. And then they just open up and kill me. And I was like, why did that happen? And I didn't understand for ages that it was just because they're like the rival outlaws.
The rival gang.
Kind of thing.
Well, sometimes it wouldn't even, they wouldn't do that. But then all of a sudden their name would pop up and be like, you know, Kyle O'Driscoll. I'm like, O'Driscoll? Yeah. And I just kill
O'Driscoll.
Him.
Yeah, yeah, straight up. Yeah, and you know you're right to kill them.
That's right.
Anyway, so anyway, in the 4th of July celebrations, we've got the most solid couple, the Wheelers, with the youngest daughter who...
Yeah. Speak like, I don't think, I feel like their marriage might be on the rocks at this point because they're stuck up on a Ferris wheel. They will have to talk to each other at some point.
And yeah, that's true.
That's a pretty bad position to be in.
And I mean,
Mr. Wheeler just closes his eyes.
That's true.
That's true. Okay. He knows how to save his marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
And also because they've got their daughter there, maybe they'll just like talk to the daughter. They'll be like, can you tell mom?
Tell your father.
You know, tell your mother and like, you know, pass it between the two of them. Brilliant. Yeah. That'll save it. But
can you ask your mother if we have milk at home?
So the mother is being
divorce your parents?
Super romantic, and she's actually slipped the
carny
$5 extra so that she can watch the fireworks from the top of the Ferris wheel, which is really nice. It's
beautiful.
And the daughter sees in the bushes, because she's not watching the fireworks for some reason,
ADHD.
She decides that she's just going to watch some of the bushes, and she notices that they're moving quite rapidly and there's something running through them.
Even the mum's like, talks to her like she's an absolute idiot. It's like, why are you watching the trees? Watch the fireworks.
Yeah.
You moron.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll push you out of like,
there's something
wheel.
In the bushes, but nope. So we... In the distance, we find Hopper's house.
Cabin in the
and
woods.
The fireworks are like his cabin. Sorry.
Still
no,
I was
house,
making a cabin
right?
in the woods joke. It was a cabin in the woods. That was the joke I was making.
Oh, okay. Well, it is a cabin, though. You're right. Okay, you're right. It's whatever. A cabin. Anyways, so they're there, and they realize that the mind flayer is coming down the road. And like they see it, yeah. And they all run outside and they see it. And then we cut to the Soviet base. But I realized like when you cut back, the mind flayer is basically in the same spot, and it takes forever to get to the end of the road. And I was like, what? Like it was
it's checking
bolting
house numbers.
Towards
slow
them,
slow moving.
Yeah, and they have like this whole moment where they can sort of like try and sort of. Protect themselves within Hopper's house, like by getting any means necessary, sort of like the Home Alone kind of moment where they can.
I reckon
sort
it was
of,
just
defense. Yeah.
He's a fair player. Like he came around the corner. I was like, oh, you guys, like you're not even in the house.
Oh,
like,
you're not
you're
even
not ready,
ready guys.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, you're not
I'll
ready?
Give you a minute. Yeah. I'll give you a minute. Yeah. Like I'll just.
No,
you know,
he's,
I ain't back
he's doing like the hide and seek thing. He's like, oh, I'll count to 10, and then you just, yep. you just, I'll, like, I'll close my eyes. You go hide somewhere, and I'll come find you. Kind of thing. He's like, one. Two, like really slowly for them. And so, yeah, they've made like their little semicircle. They're going to like protect themselves from the mind flayer. And then he's like, he decides to come out and find them.
That's right.
After the 10-second count.
Ready or not.
And a little bit of like, you know, taunting the house, maybe like punching it here and there kind of thing before he decides to like rip through the wall kind of, yeah. And, grab it. Who's he grab? He tries to grab.
He throws Jonathan first, I think.
Oh, yeah, right. And then he goes to get Nancy.
No.
Like, to get.
It doesn't do that yet. We've got the whole Stephen Robbins scene.
Yeah, I'm sort of jumping all over
he's
the place.
It, no worries. All right, carry on.
We can go back to that. But
Sorry.
It's just more efficient
to stay on
that.
That's what they're doing. They're
stay
escaping.
On the one story. Sick. Yeah, they're escaping. They're doing their thing.
Yeah.
Cool. So Jonathan, like he gets thrown across the room by the mind flayer, and then the mind flayer goes to attack Nancy, and it stops at the last minute, and we have 11 Ex Machina. Doing her thing, saving the day for a moment. And then what happens next? I think she gets grabbed by another tentacle, right?
She gets like, grabbed in the leg.
Yeah.
She does. Yeah. Yes.
And it looks painful.
Go, well, hang on. No, she's got, after the whole awesome shot of her like holding him off on both sides. And then cuts those guys off and then bang, something else grabs her from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, because what happens is like it goes through the wall and then we have like the multiple like prongs or whatever come out, like the tremors kind of thing.
She's holding them off either side of her.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And she like snaps them both and then...
And it comes through the roof.
Comes through the roof and grabs her. And she gets the bite, so we get the title of the episode. So, there we go. Oh, it all ties in.
The bite. The bite.
That's why it's called the bite. The bite.
So then whilst this is happening, Nancy is shooting that tentacle that's bitter. Lucas grabs the axe and he's cutting the thing's head off or the arm off. And they do. And after this,
they
11,
are saving L this
fairly
time.
Enough, isn't stoked. And just like rips this thing's face in half, like the actual bite flayer. And they use that time to get the hell out of there. And they do. Mm-hmm.
When it rips in half, it reminded me of Men in Black when they killed the cockroach monster in the first one.
Oh,
all explodes sort of thing. they just like yeet out of there kind of thing. And and they're meanwhile we've got Dustin and Steve. They've broken out of the facility, but they've just escaped into the Starcourt Mall.
The mall.
And decide to go to the movies and sort of wait it out kind of thing to stay hidden. But Steve and Robin are very off their face at this stage, so they're just having a great time. They think it's hilarious. And they go and watch Back to the Future, which is nice.
Great movie.
Which... Yeah, it's the very first Back to the Future. So I didn't know it was out.
Why is it Back to the Future if they're going in the past?
Yeah. So
Back to the Future.
Anyway.
Yeah. What happens next?
Well, what happens next is that Dustin is going to try and going to find him a ride. They're going to be like, we need to get the hell out of here. So he goes and he tells Erica to look after Steve and Robin. And then we cut back to the Russian crew, which is Hopper and, them. And Hopper and Joyce are fighting. And Murray is just like, be together already. We're sick of it. And him and Alexi have a little bit of a laugh at
children,
that.
Children. I love him. It's so funny. He just like, what he says.
Sorry. I thought he was saying Mildred. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Mildred.
I thought you were doing some like children. Some crap from a musical. Children.
I thought you were saying Mildred as well. I was like, what? Did he say Mildred?
Why are we talking about Mildred?
Mildred.
Then we cut to a convenience store. Nancy is back in badass mode. She pegs a rock through the window and just walks in. And they're trying to find supplies to help Eleven's leg, which looks absolutely munted right now.
Oh, it looks so brutal. No.
And they whilst they're doing that, they also get back in touch with Dustin. Finally.
Yes.
And they can kind of decipher what he's saying, and it sounds like they're in the mall.
Yeah.
They hear more. I'm pretty sure that's like the only thing they hear.
Yeah.
Do they hear Russians or something as well? Because they don't. Yeah.
It's very cut up.
Maybe.
We don't know what they hear.
Yeah.
But Dustin then goes back into the cinema and he's talking to Eric and he's like, I think I've got us a way out of here. And then realizes that Steve and Robin are gone. So
yeah.
They're wandering around outside, loving water, enjoying water and the roof because it's so pretty.
A bit too much.
It's a lot of roof.
Yeah.
But then it triggers them and they spew.
Too much roof.
They run into the bathrooms
at the same time and they have a sneaky vom.
Spew sesh.
And they realize that that sort of sobers them up a little bit. And Steve, he actually sort of admits his feelings for Robin. And
Robin
admits her feelings for women. So he realizes that basically he's barking up the wrong tree and he's like...
Yep.
He's not going to get anywhere with Robin because she's just not interested in him. And
then they start talking about girls. Like, Yeah, like the bros, pretty much.
I like this scene. Actually. I thought, like, hats off to both of them. They were excellent. Like, this is just really well acted.
It's very good. Really well done. It is really well done. But then I couldn't help but think that her story was very misleading when she talked about him, like, earlier on, where she talked about, like, basically wanting to be him. But it seemed like she wanted to be with him kind of thing back in school, but she was actually wanting to be him so that she'd get the attention of all the other girls that were staring at him kind of thing. And I felt like that story was very misleading.
I feel like she does definitely have feelings for Steve.
Yeah, it's more like a platonic sort of friendship sort of feeling.
A guy like Steve, it wouldn't come naturally for him. Like, he wouldn't have a female friend because, you know, he thinks that he tries to hit on everyone.
Yeah.
This is probably the best thing for him, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But hey,
I love it when Dustin finds them and he just walks in and is like, okay, what the hell?
Again, these guys together, it's the best.
Anyway. After that, we go back to the carnival and Alexi and Murray are just, they're bored. They're waiting in the car. They're bored. And Alexi's like, do you have to be American to have fun? And Murray's like, no, let me show you the true fun of a 4th of July carnival. Murray shows him the true things of being an American, which are excessive celebration and cheating.
Yeah.
But then
what do they cheat on? Yeah. What do you mean?
All the games are rigged.
That's right.
Finest.
Yeah.
Then Joyce and Hopper run into again the rock solid couple, the Wheelers, in the hopes of trying to figure out where the hell their kids are, but you know, they don't know. But that's fine because they're too absorbed with each other because they're so beautiful and they're perfect. So then Back to the Future ends and Dustin and gang are leaving. Their plan has worked. They have evaded the Russians who were trying to find them, except they haven't. The Russians are still there and they've found them.
They have.
Oh, no.
They've found them.
Oh, no.
Do they wait till everyone sort of left to leave or do they actually get captured by them?
No, they wait till everyone's like, they go and bunker up. Because the next time we see them after they race off, I don't know where they are.
Basically like an empty mall, right? By that stage, I think.
I think it's more like the cinema section might be busy or whatever, but the rest of the mall is closed.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when you go see like a late night movie and
they go in the food court and they bunker up.
But not before we see Alexi having just a truly wonderful time at the carnival.
Oh, he's made friends.
Oh, no.
He's throwing darts. He's winning prizes.
Yeah. Oh. He's living the American dream.
And not only does he win a Woody Woodpecker doll, but he also wins a bullet through the heart as the Russian Terminator rocks up. Calls him a traitor.
Who thought that these carnies are so vicious that they shoot you when you win something?
That's right. Oh, well, they don't want to give the prizes away.
We've already established they are rigged. They are rigged.
They're rigged. Yeah, if you win a prize, you actually die.
You win, you die. Dead. So, Russian Terminator kills him, just calls him a traitor and just keeps walking. It's such a brutal hit.
It is brutal.
Quick. And
it's like everything slows down and it's well done, this scene. Like, that's just the realization, and he kind of comes out of nowhere as well.
Yeah.
Just watching the scene again, and he's just like, fine. And then all of a sudden, like, a couple just moves, and like, oh, crap, he's there. He's like, in the middle of frame suddenly. It's like, what the heck?
And you feel bad because they've built up Alexi so much that you really like him by this stage. You
really do.
So when he just, like, just... Bang. Gets killed and dies so brutally too because he sort of dies on his own because Murray's like, I'm going to go get help and leaves him in on the side.
Oh.
And then when he comes back, he's like just dead. It's like so brutal.
Murray's, his reaction to the whole thing.
He's genuinely sad.
And that is what makes it gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know who Alexi is for a grain of salt, but man, Murray is He's
sad.
Distraught.
Well, I think he just like they were coming really good friends.
Actually, you know what? Like the nail in the coffin is the fact that he's got like he's holding two hot dogs.
Yes.
Two corn dogs.
Two corn dogs.
He's like, he's so keen. He's like, this is my new best friend.
That's right. I have a weird Russian friend. Oh. So whilst he's dying, Hopper and Joyce see that the Russians have found their position and they're closing in. Yep. So Hopper says, bring the car around back. And then he runs into like a haunted house or a horror. What even is this place that he runs into?
It's, I don't know, just like a hall of mirrors, kind of like weird, dizzying. It's, I don't know. They have one in the, at the end of Grease.
They
do. You know
do.
How much you love musicals.
I have seen Grease, so.
You have seen Grease, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It is, it's called the Big Top.
The Big Top.
And that's it. It's just like a weird circus ride full of mirrors and
mischief.
Weird distortion things to make it, you know, basically just make you throw up.
A little bit. It. Yeah. It's really
that's
trippy.
How I read this. Yeah.
But Hopper
crazy.
Waits for the guy to come in and gosh. Then just beats the ever-living crap out of him. I feel like Hopper's been getting a lot better at fighting in this whole
holy
season.
Holy crap. I don't know. But like he's also, he has had his, like he's,
he's sick of it.
Getting, yeah, he's had his butt given to him like constantly by this Russian Terminator.
He's learned so that when the best way to win a fight is to just not get hit. So that's what he does.
And he doesn't.
He doesn't get hit.
Freaking heck.
He just always on the attack. And then he's...
And this is like the first of many moments towards the end of the season where he just does not hold back.
No, he goes hard.
Hopper fully loaded.
Hopper fully loaded. Electric Hopperloo. So he steals the Russian guy's gun.
Hopper Rift.
Hopper
Drift.
Hopper Reed.
Two Hopper, Two Furious. All right.
Oh, Lord.
We can go all night.
Please don't.
All right.
So he takes the gun and Russian Terminator walks in, sees the other dead Russian, and then he goes into the Hall of Mirrors and Hopper gets the angle on him and puts like 8 into his chest and runs away. Yeah. But we sadly see that Russian Terminator was wearing a vest and he's not dead.
Prepared.
And, you know, and then Hopper escapes. Joyce is waiting for him with the car and they leg it. And then what, Dean? Yep. Oh, and Alexa's dead.
And then, hang on. First of all, Joyce, who has a break from yelling at fully grown adult men, decides to go up and punch a fully
and
grown
and kick
adult
in the penis.
In the face and kick him in the nuts.
Kicks him.
Which, you know, fair enough. It's like, Carrie, I don't understand. Like, Jason... Carrie Ulis?
Elwes.
I don't know. Elwes. All right. Jason will help me when he gets back.
He will.
Punches him in the face and then runs off.
What we don't see, though, is the deleted scene where he goes, "You're marvelous, but I'm not left-handed either." And punches her back. And then we go back to Starcourt Mall and all the kids are hiding in the food court.
Oh,
and
because they've got a radio. The now Russian gang without any Russians have the radio and hear the Russians moving in on the kids, don't they?
What?
Yes.
What?
That's how they know to get. Well, that's how they know to get to the mall.
No, Dustin told them to get to the mall. So the Russians find their position and they're about to kill them. And then all of a sudden the car alarm goes off and then they get hit by the car that's just sitting there as a prize. And the camera pans up to in the coolest way to reveal 11 and the crew are all there.
Yes.
Killing Russians with a car.
No, I'm talking about the adults that are just coming from the carnival. Like they know to go to the mall because
sorry.
Of the Russian radio.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good.
You
I was
are
like,
correct.
I get why you thought. Yeah. So that's why they get there and happy reunion.
Well, 11 kills them all. And just before the episode ends though, 11 passes out because the pain in her leg is excruciating. And then we see that there is something moving around inside of her leg bite, which is disgusting.
Oh, it's so gross.
And that's where the episode ends. So it's really leading up for episode 8 to be a lot. 11's out for the count. And
yep.
Everyone's on Struggle Street.
Yep, she skipped leg day.
She skipped leg day. The bite is real.
So there you go.
Is it Carrie Ellis? How do you say his name? Carrie Ellis? Carrie
Ellis.
Ellis.
Yeah.
Trips me out, but yeah.
Yeah, I looked it up before we did it the other episode to make sure that I was actually pronouncing it correctly, because I know that you say it differently, right? How do you say it?
I've always said it Carrie Ellis, but I've never looked it up.
Yeah.
Q E U S. You know? It's definitely, if it's not Ralph Fiennes, then anything is possible. Any pronunciation you want is apparently fine. So,
yeah, what is it?
I give up.
Is it Schneider?
Rafe Fiennes is Fiennes, how you say his name.
Rafe Fiennes Rafe or something Fiennes. Like that. Yeah, it's
and
really
hey,
weird.
If that, you know, I'm calling it. I give up. Yeah. I don't care anymore.
I do like this episode and builds up for a nice conclusion. And it sets the scene. So,
it does.
I think that brings us to the end of this week's episode.
I can't wait to talk about it. Right now.